We've come today to a lesson that is very important that helps us as Christians to understand that even though we have been forgiven of past sins when we become a Christian, we still have a fight and a battle on our hands to remain free from sin and continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, one day receiving eternal life. Overcoming the Dominion of Sin is the title of our lesson. How can we as Christians live so that sin does not continue to dominate our thinking and actions? Jesus, after living a sinless life, has died, that is, for our sins to be forgiven, been raised from the dead and exalted to heaven so that we can be forgiven of our sins. And he is now ruling as king and high priest, interceding for us. After obeying the gospel, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in him as the Son of God, and being baptized, immersed in water for forgiveness of sins, God forgives us and he frees us from sin. And so this is what happens when we become a Christian in the way that we've just mentioned, that is revealed in Acts chapters 2 and 8. Then we are forgiven of our past sins and we are freed from sin. We rejoice in our salvation, but soon we realize that even as Christians, we still struggle with sin. We still often think and act in sinful ways. So we learn that we have learned long before we became Christians. Why does this happen? And more importantly, how can we, with God's help, overcome the dominion of sin so that sin does not continue to dominate our thinking and conduct even after we have once become Christians? Why does this happen? How did it happen? How does it happen? And how can we overcome it? That's the purpose of this lesson today. We start in Romans chapter 6. We have been freed from sin at baptism. Romans 6 verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So he's writing to Christians, Paul is, saying that once we have been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, shall we still live thinking and acting in sinful ways? He says, God forbid. Then he talks about what happened at baptism. Verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And so, as Christians, as we become a Christian, we have been forgiven of past sins. We have been freed from sin. But how have we been made freed from sin through Christ? Well, God, by His grace and mercy, has forgiven us of our sins. And as we continue with God, who is both just and merciful, we are able to always receive His gracious forgiveness if we continue to meet His conditions of pardon. God is both just and merciful. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified," or freed from guilt, "being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus." So God sending Jesus to die for our sins is just, because He provides punishment for sins, but He can be also merciful, not violating His law, but because of His love and mercy through Jesus' blood, can forgive the sinner. And so we have been freed from sin because of the justice and mercy of God and grace of God, His undeserved favor toward us. And therefore, we have become His children at baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. But still we struggle. We struggle. Why do we struggle as Christians? Why do we continue to have problems with sin? Why does it happen? Well, it happens because through corrupted fleshly desires, we are inclined to submit to the law of sin and death. We are inclined to misuse our bodies in such a way that we want them to be satisfied, but we do so in a sinful manner. Satan tempting us through that flesh that God intends for us to use in a lawful way, but we decide to misuse it in a sinful way, fulfilling the desires in a manner that is not lawful in the sight of God. We call that the law of sin and of death. The scriptures call it that. And it's revealed in Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, verse 14, 17, and 18. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am under flesh," Paul says, "sold into bondage to sin. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." Paul said there's a conflict between misusing our body in the wrong way and the right way. And many times we give in to misusing our body in the wrong way. Verse 23, he says, "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." And so there is a tendency to misuse the body, allowing those desires that are lawful to be fulfilled unlawfully. And that's why we have the tendency to sin, choosing to corrupt the desires that God has given us in an unlawful way, submitting to Satan, as we have done many times. Through the corrupt fleshly desires, we choose to sin. These are the means by which Satan attracts us and entices us. 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, but also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life continue to assault our thinking, and we are enticed to fulfill those lawful desires in an unlawful way. And therefore, we have a tendency to sin. Our background has repeatedly taught us about sin, so that we have practiced sin over and over again. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited or handed down from your forefathers. It was this background of sin that we are living in that David referred to in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Not in an inherited sin that David had no control over, but in a sinful world where sin is the norm, where we have learned to sin over a period of time. And we have learned to submit to social pressure that we see continually, so that we conform to society rather than to God. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, the social pressure resulting in sin. He says, verse 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, were by acquired learning children of wrath, submitting to the social pressure. And so we have those forces working on our minds, so that the easiest course is go ahead and think and do sinful things. That is how sin gets a foothold in our lives, and even after we have become Christians, if we don't fight against it with God's help, it will continue to dominate our thinking and conduct. So the question is, in the face of this reality, what are we going to do? Well, filled with God's Word, we must be renewed and transformed into a living sacrifice so that we don't stay conformed to the world, but we begin to think and act differently. That the Word of God becomes our primary primary purpose and action in this life, rather than the way we have learned to think and act sinfully. Romans 6, verses 11 through 16. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. So the point is, God expects me to, in my mind, act as one alive from the dead, having been forgiven of my sins, freed from sin, deciding not to live in that sinful way any longer, but be submissive to Him and present my members of my body to righteousness rather than to sin. Because I do not live under law only, but also under grace, along with the law of Christ, the new covenant in the New Testament. As we learn and apply the Word of God, we become different in our thinking and our conduct. That holy living sacrifice that we are to be, separated to the purpose of God rather than conformed to this world. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Prove what the will of God is by having our minds renewed, made different by the Word of God, being changed into a different form, into the image of Jesus, rather than the likeness of Satan conformed to this world. A continual process as we learn and apply the will of God. Our minds being made different to serve God and using our bodies for righteousness rather than unrighteousness. But still, what do? As this process is going on, we know we continue at times to sin, to do that which is displeasing to God, to fail to do what is pleasing to God, when we know we should? What do we do so that we can continue to be free from sin, alive to righteousness? And one day, as we become like Jesus here, one day being with Jesus for eternity, what do we do? We are to keep on walking in the light, in the truth of God, repenting and confessing our sins as often as needed, becoming like Jesus. Yes, even after we become Christians, we must continue to acknowledge our sins before God and pray for His mercy, turning to Him from sin over and over again. And He is always willing through the blood of Jesus to forgive us, that we can continue to become like Jesus, submitting to His will, that one day we might be with Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is perfect. God is sinless. In Him there is no sin. If we say that we have fellowship, partnership with God, with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. How do we do that? If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The truth is that in order to remain free from sin and continue with Jesus, by His grace, we must continue to confess our sins as often as needed and repent of those sins and pray to Him for forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Only with God's help can I fight against sin and continue with God, that one day I might be with Him for eternity. And if I deny it and say that, oh, I don't have any sin that God is going to condemn me for, that I will be lost after being saved, then I'm a liar. I lie and do not practice the truth. The truth is that we can be lost after being saved if we do not continue to humbly confess our sins and repent of them and pray God to forgive us and cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. And if I believe the Holy Spirit is acting in a certain way within me so that I am not able to commit sin in such a way that God will condemn me, then I am believing something that is false and is not true. John is clearly saying here, if we continue to confess our sins and if we continue to turn to God, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. And then when He does that, for 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus going between us and God, offering his perfect sacrifice and continuing to cleanse us by his blood as we repent of our sins and continue to confess our sins to him. He continues to cleanse us that we can go forward to be renewed and transformed by the gospel day by day as we apply that word to our lives and become more habitual in our submission to the will of God and more like Jesus day by day. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And so how do I know that I am continuing with Jesus and that I can fight against sin with the help of God? We are to keep on walking in the light, in the truth of God, repenting, changing our minds, and confessing our sins, becoming like Jesus as we apply the Word of God day by day. This is how we are to be pleasing to God. This is what we must do if we are to continue to overcome sin so that sin does not dominate our thinking and actions as Christians. We must be in the habit of learning and applying the Word of God as those alive from the dead, being freed from sin, that we might be transformed in our thinking by the Word of God, having our minds renewed, made different by the Word of God, submitting our bodies to righteousness rather than unrighteousness. But as we do so, we know we sin, we think and act sinfully, and doing so, we must realize we must continue to repent, confess our sins to God, that he might cleanse us through the blood of Jesus, that we might continue on becoming like Jesus, so that sin does not continue to dominate our thinking. And after a lifetime of doing this, that by his grace one day we might be with Jesus for eternity. God is willing to help us overcome sin if we are willing to meet the conditions that he has given: repentance of sins, confession of sins before him, and praying that we might be cleansed by his blood as often as needed. This is how Christians are to continue, so that sin does not take hold of us, and so that we do not become entangled with it in such a way that we are lost after once being saved. With the help of God, he will continue to forgive us as long as we continue to repent of our sins, confess them, and pray to him for forgiveness. If you're here today and not a child of God, we would encourage you to become free from sin at the point of repentance. Upon your belief in Jesus, the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess him as Jesus, the Son of God, before men, that he died for our sins after living a perfect life, has been raised from the dead and exalted as King and High Priest in heaven, where he is ruling now and interceding for man before God. Believing that, confessing it to men, be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, that you might be baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, forgiven of all past sins, as we read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. And then continue to learn how to live as a Christian, to present our bodies to God rather than to sin, having our minds transformed, having our minds renewed and our life transformed by the Word of God, learning and applying those things day by day, but as we do so, knowing that we fall short of His will, always as Christians, as often as needed, and it will be often, we continue to confess our sins to God, turning from those things, repenting of those things, turning to God, praying for His mercy over and over again as long as while we have life. 1 John chapter 1, going into chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24. We as Christians can be lost after being saved, but with the help of God, we can day by day overcome sin by the cleansing blood of Jesus so that it does not dominate our thinking and conduct. We would encourage all to respond. If you contact us by email, text, or phone, we would be glad to study with you by Zoom, answer your questions if we can, find those to help you in your area if we can, that you might obey the gospel as you read in Acts chapters 2 and 8 before it is ever too late. We would encourage all to respond. We would encourage you as Christians to continue to repent and pray, all of us as Christians to continue to repent and pray, confessing our sins, that we might continue to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and grow in His grace and knowledge. We hope and pray that all might respond before it's too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.